Good morning and welcome to the Coach's Show. I'm Kevin Kelly. Let's take a look at week five of the high school football season. Finals are in the books, and at Atkins Stadium last night, the Jefferson City Jays and the Capital City Cavaliers played their first ever varsity football game, and the Jays win by a score of 36-0. At Helias' Ray Hinchcliffe Stadium, a key conference game last night between Helias and Columbia Rockbridge, and the Crusaders moved to 5-0 on the season with a 56-24 victory over the Bruins. And then last night in St. Genevieve, it was Valley Catholic over the Blair Oaks Falcons by a score of 35-28. And joining us now is Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Coach, I took a look at it quickly last night as far as the games were concerned in Week 5. To me personally, that was the key matchup across the state last night, you and Valley Catholic.
Well, in Class 3 this year, we've been the key matchup 2 out of 5 weeks. So kudos to our players and to the coaches and also the community and administration for putting together a very high-quality program. But, you know, we don't want to be the key matchup. We want to be the key opportunity to take her. Last night we didn't do that.
All right, let's step back for just a moment because they weren't supposed to be on your schedule or weren't on the original schedule as far as the 2020 schedule is concerned. It was supposed to be a Tri-County Conference game last night against Versailles at home at the Falcon Athletic Complex, but the Tigers middle of the week said they could not play that game, and so then you guys had to make a decision and had to get somebody real quick, didn't you?
It wasn't middle of the week. It was actually Wednesday night. I came off the practice field, and we were told at that point in time by Dr. Jones and Mr. Felton that we weren't going to be playing Versailles. And we started our about 24-hour search, and St. Genevieve Valley was open but didn't really respond, didn't really want to play the game on Wednesday night. On Thursday, they called back, talked to Mr. Felton, and they told Mr. Felton that the only way they would play the game is if we came there. It was a home game for us and had been scheduled to be a road trip game for them. So we had officials. We had a location that was exactly halfway matched up. And they said, absolutely not. We won't play. And so we had to, Dr. Jones and Mr. Felton said, let's go play them. And I said, why not? We're not going to sit at home and not be able to play. That is an injustice to everything that's involved with the integrity of the football game. If you got an opportunity to play, you go play. And I talked with Ryan Fick and Brian Ash. They're both very successful coaches in basketball and baseball, and they always talk about turning around, playing teams. So, and they always get kind of question mark me on stuff. But last night, I think, proves why it's kind of hard to play a game in such a short notice, that it is a game that needs to be prepared for. And that's one of the things that I took away last night, is we weren't as prepared as what we could have been. And I think that we need to do a better job of preparing our players as coaches, but it's really hard on 12 hours notice to do that.
Now, we're going to step into the details of the game in just a moment. First of all, you forced 7 turnovers in the ball game, don't you?
We did. We did a lot of great things last night. There is not an opportunity for us not to applaud some of the great things that we did last night. Incredible atmosphere, incredible environment, not very good field, not very good, a lot of things, tons of adversity, and in life will kick you and knock you to his knees, and you know, there you got two choices, lay there and take it, or get up and get better, and that's what we're going to try to do this morning.
You know, Valley Catholic is one of those football teams. I told a couple of people last night when we were talking about it, Valley Catholic is tied with Webb City for the most state football championships in the history of the state of Missouri with 15, and both of them are defending state champions. Of course, they won't be able to defend the championship because they have moved up a class. Webb City has gone from 4 to Class 5, and Valley Catholic, due to the championship factor, has now moved from Class 1 to Class 3. But Valley Catholic, like you, 4-0 going into the game last night, and like you, they had dominated their first 4 weeks of the football season, outscoring their opponents 220-14.
On the 14 was not given up by their first unit. You go down there and they look like a football team. They act like a football team. They demand excellence. You know, it's a private school, so you know they get really good young men that are educated to go there. You can tell that their mental capacity to understand the knowledge of the game was extremely, extremely high. So they had great football IQ. They had great players. And they had a great atmosphere, a great program is going to make some players play better than what they are, and that's what I think their program does. I think we emulate that in our program, and there was no loss of effort on either side last night. A lot of cramps, a lot of exhaustion after the game, and a lot of pain on either side. There was a pain inflicted on both sides, which a great high school football game is about, making the other opponent not want to play football. And I think that happened on several occasions last night, both sides.
We talked about the fact that there were seven turnovers that you created in the ball game. I think four interceptions in the contest, but it was a turnover that led to the first score in the ball game. Valley gets on the board first, and it's the first time all season long you trailed the football game.
Yeah, that's going to happen, and we wanted to go down and put our players in a position. Jim Jones, the superintendent, Corey Felton, and myself, when we talked, you can sit around, and that the great thing about a conference is you know who you're playing, you know where you're going, you know what's going to happen nine times out of ten as far as the atmosphere of it. This was a situation where you have to adjust, and that's one thing that Dr. Jones and Corey Feldman and I talked about, is this is an opportunity for us to get outside our comfort zone, and we want it to be outside our comfort zone. Do we want to win the doggone football game? You're doggone right we do, but when it boiled down to it last night, we got behind. I didn't see any player on our sideline not believe or have faith that we were going to work through it. And that's the things you look for in games like that, is that intensity to turn the game back around in your favor. And I thought we did a tremendous job of that on several occasions.
Valley Catholic led 20-14 at the half. Tell me about your first drive that you get the lead back in the third quarter, 21-20.
They've been playing a defense that very, very, very successful for them. It's something I would not coach, but that is something that I'll leave for another story. But they were doing some things to us to get us off our tempo, and it was working very well. I noticed the set, and I told it to Coach Briggs at halftime, that I think, hey, this set is going to give them trouble because of the way they were playing their defensive backs on our receivers. And when we got that set, it was an awesome drive, drop march right down the field. The adjustment worked perfectly to what we thought it would. Drove down, scored, got up, and then proceeded to have a little bit of a trade back there. And then the major play, and you can't ever point to one play in a football game, but momentum in high school football is huge. We had all the momentum. They snapped the ball in the end zones. Their quarterback picked it up. We tackled him, and they brought it back out to the 2-yard line. And that's the only thing I will say about that. That was a huge moment in the football game, because it went from being a 2-point and then punting to us to them keeping control of the ball and being back in the field of play. That was a huge moment, and that's one that I look back on that we didn't respond to very well as a team, because our players were just perplexed how it wasn't a safety. And instead of being perplexed, you don't control anything other than your play. Line up and play again, and that's what I'm going to talk to our players about this morning. I felt like they gained some momentum after that particular instance. Didn't win or lose the football game, but they gained momentum, and we didn't seize that opportunity to get the momentum back.
Ball game was tied at the end of the third quarter at 28-all, and they score on the first play, I believe, of the fourth quarter. And it looked like, what I saw last night, it looked like it was a pass that was there. You had great coverage, and he went up and got it, and then ended up scoring on the play. It looked like it almost could have been an interception as well.
Our DBs did a great job last night. Incredible receiver. He is 6'3". He's the real deal. He's the number one baseball prospect in the state. He's one of those guys you can play for anybody at any level and be really, really successful. He made a play on the ball, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. The preceding things that led up to it, I don't know about, but he made a great play on the ball, able to reach up and grab it. He catches the ball in his hands very well, and then he separated after the catch for our DB and scored. We still didn't have what we wanted out of the matchup, but at the same standpoint, again, something that our player can look at this morning on film and say, now that's, here's something I could do just a little bit better, maybe not trying to make the interception, but making sure the receiver doesn't catch the ball. And it was a well-contested interception catch ratio, but at the same standpoint, the job of a defensive back is to help put the ball on the ground, and that's one thing maybe we didn't do a good enough job of it, of coaching up, so that's something we need to coach up a little better.
You and I talk about this number quite a bit, the giveaway takeaway after last night's game and the fact that you forced seven turnovers in the ball game. You will go into week six at a plus 18.
Yeah, and we're going into week six at 4-1. The only plus minus takeaway is you have to come out on the successful side of the scoreboard in high school football. And as a coach, I feel very disappointed and down this morning because I didn't do enough to help our players when they force those kind of turnovers to help us win the game. So that falls back on me, and that's something that I'm already at work, and I'm looking at it right now this morning, how I can help these young men where we don't get the opportunity. We have 7 turnovers. We're not winning the football game.
All right, Friday night you'll go to Eldon in the Tri-County Conference game. Mustangs lost last night to Southern Boone 54-20. They're 1-3, and they run out of the wing tee.
Yeah, I don't care who we play, where we play them at, we're going to go play. I think we're going to come in this morning and we're going to react very well. It's going to be about us. It's not about who we play. It's about us. And last night, we allowed who we played to get involved in it, too. So we're going to have some good discussions about that this morning. I think that Eldon will be a great opponent. They're going to be, everybody now is going to look and say, hey, there's a kink in the armor, go get them. Now, how can we shore up our kinks? Because the wing tee is a very, very effective offense. And if you don't play very disciplined football, it's going to get to you in a hurry. And Melvin's doing a much better job of doing that this year.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck on Friday night.
Thank you, sir.
Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. We're back with more. After the break, it's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
Yes, Netflix is awesome. And so is sitting inside with the AC on full blast. But, Mom and Dad, it's time to pause your show and let's go do something. The Missouri Heart Center reminds you that your heart would really appreciate it. We can go on family walks at night, play kickball, or even just a quick game of catch. Because you know who wants you to be active even more than your heart? Me. Because I don't want you to miss a beat. Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri. MoHeartCenter.com.
Oh, sure, it's picturesque. Nice colors on the leaves, hot cocoa, kids playing football. Seems like the perfect day for an invasion. While you sit there unaware, they are coming at you. Vicious beetles, horrible wasps, sneaky, scary, skittery spiders, all over the place. It's what the pest control people call the fall invasion. They know the cold is coming. They know your house is warm and dry, and they want in.
There just aren't enough fly swatters and rolled up newspapers to stop them all. They all want in. Who can help us? Who can save us? Who?
Hi, I'm Steve, your friend in the pest control business.
We have been saved by a true hero, a giant warrior among men.
Whoa, take it easy. I'm just Steve with Steve's Pest Control, but I will solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
He guarantees it. Contact Steve's Pest Control today at stevespestcontrol.com.
Steve's Pest Control.
The Pantheon, built with a special mix of Roman concrete. It stood tall for 2,000 years. The Pantheon. A perfect representation of what Winter Dent Insurance has provided businesses since 1912. Rock-solid support and a foundation that won't crack under the pressure of dealing with risk management. Winter Dent hasn't been around quite 2,000 years. But if you want your business to prosper as long as the Pantheon, you'll want Winter Dent Insurance. Winter-Dent.com.
UFOs. Pandemics. Hurricanes. Could this be the most epic action thriller movie of all time?
No, it's just 2020, a good year to stay indoors. So let Beautiful Home Interiors help you make your home your happy place. They can help you plan and design the best flooring, window treatments, cabinets, and more. Leave 2020 at the door and make your interior superior. BeautifulHomeInteriors.com.
Hi, this is Ryan.
And Caitlin.
Of Bentledge Homes.
When you want the home with a shop, 5 bedrooms, a hosting kitchen, a finished basement.
In other words, you want the home that has it all.
The one-of-a-kind home you want is a custom home by Bentledge Homes.
But you're not alone. The list of custom home requests is growing all the time.
It's kind of like ordering a Tesla. If you want it next year, reserve it today.
Save your spot now. Your dream home begins with Bentledge.
BentledgeHomes.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Shannon Jolly. Last night at Atkins Stadium, it was the Jefferson City Jays over the Capital City Cavaliers by a score of 36-0. Before we break down the game, Coach, we talked about this in the middle of the week when you and I were doing our pregame interview. And, you know, the coaches on both staffs know each other very well. Players on both teams know each other very well. And last night you had a situation where I believe Damon Upchurch was injured in the third quarter, and David Bethune of the Jefferson City Jays came over and helped him all the way across the field as he was going off with an injury, and I thought it was just a great example of sportsmanship.
I think it's awesome that you noticed that, Kevin. I don't know if everybody else did. I told David thinks he's a pretty fantastic young man. And that's probably the layer that a lot of people don't get the privilege of seeing. You know, my short time at Jeff City, I got a chance to meet some of these young men. And I know, you know, teams across the state get criticized for their play. But I don't think a lot of times people take a good look at maybe what those programs have on the inside. And David's probably as good of a representative for Jeff City football as I've seen for a while, and a pretty fantastic young man. And obviously he had a good night last night, so I think that's a pretty cool shout-out to let everybody know that there's some other layers to that game for sure.
Boy, you take a look at your offensive possessions last night. You didn't get very good field position most of the night.
No, we just, you know, not to break down the entire thing in one sentence, but, you know, it wasn't a real good contest for us. It wasn't a very good representation of what we put together the first 4 weeks. And, you know, that'll happen. As I talked to the staff last night late, is just putting the pieces together. This thing is different. You know, trying to figure out geometry sitting at your desk is difficult, but at the same time, you're not getting hit in the mouth, you know, while you're trying to figure it out. So it's definitely a different learning curve. And, you know, it's not uncommon to have games similar to these as you go through these processes, but no one likes them. And it's just something you work through.
You know, you take a look at their offensive possessions in the first five times that the Jays touched the football in the ball game. They start drives on your side of the 50-yard line. So basically the whole first half was played on your side of the 50.
Yeah, I mean, that's to say a little bit of poor special teams play. And then on top of some mental errors. I mean, you know, Kevin, it's the same thing. We spoke at length last night about, you know, the mental errors that we continue to have. And we went back and looked at them, and you'll find out that a lot of those mental errors and turnovers and the things that I've talked about with this young team have happened, you know, not just in big games, but in situations where, you know, things are heightened. And that's definitely something that we've got to get better at. And that comes with maturity. And again, you know, if I could figure out a way to speed the clock up, I sure would. But right now that's not the case. And we have to continue to work day by day to get, you know, to create a little bit more maturity from our teammates.
You know, going into the game last night, you were averaging about 5.8 yards per carry. I thought the Jefferson City Jays did a great job defensively against you last night.
They did an outstanding job. You know, they put some A-gap pressure in between for everybody. That's, you know, pressure from both sides of the center right up the middle. And we have some things to account for that and to give us, you know, better situations offensively when teams do that. But, again, with us trying to make adjustments and doing some things with some of our players, you know, with our some of the injuries we've had, made it really challenging. But it was a great job coaching defensively on their end for to put us in that situation.
Yeah, and too, you had a difficult situation where the first two times you touch the football, you fumble it and give it back to the Jays and put yourself in a hole.
Yeah, that goes back to what I just said. I mean, we can't, you know, the margin for error we spoke about as a staff and as players is minimal when you're playing less one grade. And so there's not a lot of room for error. And when you, especially on the two opening drives, put the ball in, there's no excuses for that. I mean, you know, we work on those things in practice of ball control and those types of things. And you know, players are going to make mistakes, and we need to do a better job with it, obviously. But again, keep putting our kids in tough situations so they feel more comfortable when they do get in those, you know, tight situations.
You talked about injuries. You played three different quarterbacks last night.
Yeah. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to go there, Kevin, because like I said, I'm the last guy to ever make an excuse for anything. So we've got players on our rosters and you know, when kids go out, other kids come in. We've got great kids all the way up and down the roster. Each kid has a different skill set, you know, about things that they're better at than other players. And last night, early in our building process, we did get to see three different quarterbacks. And that's not necessarily what you want. It definitely wasn't by design, but at the same time, all teams and all players play without different players at different times.
You know, David Bethune had a big night for them, especially in the first half. I think he had 156 yards rushing and three touchdowns. But I thought the last play of the first half was a key play. I mean, I don't think it made the difference between who won and who lost the football game. But on a fourth down and 17 from the 41 with 6 seconds left to go in the first half, David Bethune turns it into a 59-yard touchdown run, and they go in 29-0 at the half.
Yeah, I thought it was a great call. I actually said on our headset, I said, if I was him, I would give it back to David Bethune. A lot of times in a game, you'll see a kid get a rhythm and get a sense of confidence about him. And on the perimeter plays that he was, you know, his number was called, I felt like he had a different confidence. And as a coach, you see that. And on as an opponent, you fear that. And he did a great job. I think it was a great call. And like I said, our kids have to do a better job of being more physical and coming up tackling. And, again, knowing situations of just making sure that we don't allow big plays towards the end of the half. And, you know, that's 2 weeks in a row that we've had something similar to that. And, again, that goes back to us. You know, like I said, each week we're going to learn each week. And right now, without having the upperclassmen in practice and things like that, that's the only platform that we have to learn from right now.
Yeah, you know, we talked about how well the Jays played defensively last night. I thought your defense last night played pretty well as well. I mean, you come into the ball game having given up about 1,400 yards rushing in the first four games of the season. And again, the field position had your defense backed up against the wall most of the first half, most of the ball game. I thought they played pretty well.
Yeah, I think they did some good things. We're still not sure tacklers. And I think that's some things that are going to, you'll see some improvements on next year for sure. And as the season goes along, as we spend more time in the weight room and, you know, being without the spring affected everybody, but having a young team and not having the ability to, you know, to get that consistent strength and conditioning all the way through the spring. And then those kids participating in track and baseball and other things. I think we're big for us. And, so hopefully as we get a little bit more consistency, if that's going to be possible, is to put a good spring in behind so we can match up with some speed. Some of our development, our speed, and in the weight room.
Well, another tough test on Friday night at Atkins Stadium. You will host the Helias Crusaders, who come in 5-0 on the season.
Yeah, these are the things that, you know, these are where my wife thinks I'm crazy, but these are the opportunities that I look forward to. You know, when you start a program or you're involved in a program, you know, you want to play the best people. Our job this morning, as we get ready to watch film, is to try to put that challenge upon our kids. And with that, you know, you don't have anything to lose right now. And now's a chance to see for us which kids are going to put it out there, because it's going to take everything we got to compete against this talented Helias team. And like I said, but that's if you want to figure out where you're at and you want to continue and you have expectations of being the best and being on top, then you have to at least see it and be involved in it to know exactly what it is.
Helias is balanced on offense, rush versus the pass, and the defense gets after it.
No, they've got a great football team. It's not going to be a it's not going to be a short order for us. And the thing that we've got to do is to convince our kids that they can compete and with maximum effort and technique. And, you know, and it'll be interesting, too. It should set the stage for a week of practice that's at a different level. And that'll tell us a lot about where our kids are as well.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Good luck. We'll see you on Friday night.
Thanks again.
Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Shannon Jolly back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
As another election season heats up,
the liberals are not pro-life.
People are getting more vocal than ever.
Socialism or capitalism?
You got your liars. It doesn't work.
And you don't have to wait for the ballot box.
But I'm all for fighting at the ballot box.
To have your voice be heard.
I believe the Democrats will do everything they can.
I want to see Republicans out more.
They make Joe Biden their nominee because they can control him.
Join the conversation on KWOS.
The Hawthorne Bank family has always been our financial foundation.
Customers share how Hawthorne Bank's Jeff Carr can offer peace of mind advice.
I had some interruption in my revenue cycle. I went from having a very panicked phone call to Jeff to about 5 minutes later being totally at ease.
I was very overwhelmed. He made the process so much easier. He kind of took that fear away.
Life happens. You just try to be the calm voice in good and bad.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Hawthorne Bank.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Today will be day two of the Richard Wilson Classic. It is played at the 179 Soccer Park. And joining us now is Helias Crusaders head soccer coach Jay Hebenheimer. Coach, you'll be busy today, won't you?
Yeah, we got two games. First one kicks off at 9 with Carthage. They're a tough team. I stayed and watched them play last night. And it looks like we'll have our hands full this morning. But we're prepared and ready. So the boys wake up. We have homecoming this weekend. So if the boys did what they were instructed and went to bed early last night, we should be ready to go today.
There are two games at 9 o'clock, two more at 11 o'clock, and you will play North County at 1 o'clock. That's one of two games, so a lot of soccer out at the 179 Soccer Park as it ends at 3 o'clock with two games.
Absolutely. It's a great fixture every year. Scott and his crew do a great job of putting it on and hosting us all. And the weather this year has absolutely been perfect, so no complaints so far.
Archer played today. Smith Cotton last night. They win by a score of 2-0, and that's the second time it's been a close game against the Tigers for you.
They're our new tough rival. It's always close when we go in and play Ethan and his boys. They're organized. They're strong. They're big. My guys are technical, but we're awful young this year. And when we run into those sizable teams, it's always close. But it seems this year right now we're just coming out on the bottom end of them. That's okay. We'll work towards finding a plan and fixing it and moving forward and getting ready for postseason.
You were a state quarterfinalist last year in Class 3, moved up to Class 4 this year, and today Smith Cotton is one of the teams in your district along with the Jays in Capital City.
It is. That's a big district, and we knew Class 4 was coming. With the competition multiplier now and how that works, we knew we were going to be coming up to Class 4. I like that my district is close and tight. It's nice to know your opponents in your district. There's a lot of years I'm not even sure a couple of my opponents. So I know my opponents very well, and so we'll be able to game plan them well.
All right, let's take the team apart a little bit here. First of all, tell me about your offense.
I start a sophomore at the number 9 position, a sophomore which is the center forward position, a sophomore at the 7 position, which is the right wing, and a sophomore at the 11 position. So we're young in our attack right now. Again, those three guys, Jonah Lanigan, Miles Vallette, and Carson Mudd, are all very skilled at what they do. They're just learning to grow into their bodies. We put them on the rack daily just to stretch them out a little bit, Kevin, and grow them. So it's coming. It's good. Ultimately, are those guys ready for the varsity level? Maybe, maybe not. But the beauty is they're getting the experience there at a young age, and it's going to pay off for us in the future. And they're doing a great job. They're working their butts off to support my midfield, which is almost all senior, and Luke Hines, Alex Tessero, and Sam Conley, the junior, Luke Hines and Tessero being seniors. So those guys get loud and vocal with the younger guys, and the younger guys have to understand it's not personal. That's just communication on the soccer field and in play. So, we're growing. I got two more seniors in the back in Jacob Shrimp and Sam Thompson, and another junior in the center back position, with Logan Wilson. And then out on the wings, I got a sophomore, in Carter Pringer at my right back defensive position. And left back is Jacob Shrimp. So, again, a good, solid team, 4 starting seniors, 3 juniors, and then the sophomores fill in. It's a good group. The chemistry is well, and I look forward to them doing great things in the postseason. If you look at our season last year, it was a little rough and rocky from the start, and by the end of the season, we pulled it together and we're able to make a deep run. Our plan is to do just the same again this year with the distractions of COVID and our field. We're not even on our field yet again and all that. I think the boys have played remarkably well considering.
How about as far as defense is concerned and in goal?
Connor Schaefer. Sorry, I did not mean to pass that kid by, because Connor Schaefer, in my opinion, is by far one of the top keepers in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Big kid, has that aggressive personality that you need in goal and knows the position well. Between him and Logan Wilson and Sam Thompson in front of him, we have a pretty solid, pretty strong defense. We just need to work on finding a way to get the ball from the back to front and put the ball in the opponent's net, because that seems to be our struggle this year in our first few games.
It seems that this is a team that you like coaching.
Oh, I love coaching these boys. It's absolutely the best thing. One of the best things I do. I tell them, other than my family, they are the best thing I do. And the chemistry is growing every year with my boys. And you can see them trying to. This senior class was my first freshman class, so you can really see the system in place and the style of game that I like to be played being played by these boys, and ultimately the execution isn't always there because of the younger players on the field, but the mindset and the mentality are absolutely there, and I love them for it.
This is an unusual season, obviously, so when you take a look at your schedule, basically it's a day at a time, a game at a time, isn't it?
It is, and it's been that way from the start. Lots of teams dropping out, and now St. Louis is just now getting back at it. So, You know, we play a St. Louis heavy schedule, so to lose Vianney and SLU and teams like that early in our season and you know, just be ready to roll on the fly has been the mentality, you know. And I think the boys are adapting well. I think everybody across the board has adapted well to what we've had to do in these times to maintain and play and do the things that we still love to do at a safe level.
Yeah, and you mentioned it just a second ago with some of the teams from St. Louis early in the schedule. Are you looking at it from the standpoint of maybe trying to add some teams toward the end of your schedule?
We already have.
Yeah.
I've added Republic now. I'm working on adding the Shootout. Is looking for a team, so I think we may jump in and play Nixa in the Jeff City Shootout. So we dropped Canton early in the season, and now we've picked them up. We play them on Tuesday. So it's one day at a time, one team at a time, and that's what I tell the boys. And if we can focus and stay focused like that, we can find our stride. As we do, and be ready to play a very, very tough district with JC and Smith Cotton and Cap City.
Well, you had an impressive win Wednesday night. It was senior night, and you beat Battle by a score of 7-0, led 4-0 at the half.
And I thought that was going to be the key to get our offense rolling. It was the boys stayed organized. We were very aggressive from the start. Attacked as a unit is why we were so successful. When we moved up the field, we didn't get stretched through the middle too bad. And so, ultimately, I think we need to sit and watch some film of that game and rehash what we did well and look to build off that.
All right, you have Carthage at 9 o'clock this morning, and as you mentioned, North County at 1 p.m. Are they similar teams, or are they completely different styles?
They are. I watched last night a little bit, like I said, and they're two different teams. Carthage looked to be all about the attack and you know, North County was a little bit more set in and looked to defend a little more. So I'm glad I watched. They both teams have dangerous players. North County scored first, even though when I was, it was, seemed to be against the run of play, is they were pretty much set in for the first 10 or 15 minutes of the game, and then they get a good counter and get out and get a goal. So ultimately, I'm not sure who won the game. It was 3-1 when I left, so... Carthage is a dangerous attacking team who like to push the ball forward to the wings, and then look to slot they got three or four guys rushing at the net at all times when they move into the attacking third. So we're going to look to defend, early and take our chances on the counter and try to have ourselves a successful morning.
You know, we talked about your district and Capital City's in there, and you have a victory over the Cavaliers 4-1, and there's a big game coming up as far as the district is concerned for you, a game next month against Jefferson City.
Yeah, boy, that's a red-letter day on our calendar. We want to be successful in that game, and we will game plan it and go in with the plan ready to compete. Is senior heavy, and he has a very good squad that's going to compete at a high level in every game this year, and we have to get ready to go in and try and defeat him.
We mentioned you start at 9 o'clock. I know you're busy and need to get to that game, but we appreciate you being on today, and good luck today.
Kevin, there's nothing I'd rather do on a Saturday morning than talk to you, so enjoy your day.
I appreciate it, Coach. Thanks so much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Elias Crusaders head soccer coach Jay Hebenheimer. Let's give you the schedule as far as both Elias and Jefferson City. Their games today, which is day two of the Richard Wilson Classic, played out at the 179 Soccer Park. For Elias, a 9 o'clock game against Carthage. Jefferson City will play Lutheran St. Charles at 11 o'clock. Elias is back with a second game at 1 as they will take on North County. And the Jays have a 3 o'clock game against Joplin. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
Check out the September Celebration Sale this week at your Jefferson City Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee Midwest Pork, Boneless Pork Loin Butterfly, or America's Cut Thick Cut Chops for 99 cents. A 24-pack of Hy-Vee Purified Water, just $1.88. Hy-Vee Choice Reserve Boneless Beef Bottom Round, $2.97 a pound. New Crop Gala Apples, 77 cents a pound. And of course, tons of 10 for $10 deals this week, including special recipe bratwurst links or patties, bakery fresh bagels, Chobani Greek yogurt, and more. Get to your Jefferson City Hy-Vee for details.
How was your day?
Fine.
Did you learn anything new?
No.
Anything I should know?
No.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be hard to connect with teens. Use Connect With Me activity cards to deepen your conversations. visit health.mo.gov/connect to access these free cards and other resources.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Trying to find a local restaurant with good fried chicken can be like trying to pull a trick play in football. You cross your fingers and hope for the best. We're fortunate to have Nick's Family Restaurant, featuring family-style food and seriously, the best fried chicken. Check their Facebook page to see what people are ordering. Insane. Locals recommend to pick Nick's and the Tailgater chicken specials and the sides like mashed potatoes and green beans. Introduce your family to their family at Nick's Family Restaurant, Village Square on East McCarty in Jeff City.
Go! Sir, the bugs have taken over the entire neighborhood. They took out the Thompsons, the Joneses, and the Smiths.
I don't know how much longer we can hold on.
Calm down, soldier. Reinforcements are on the way. Holy protector of pest control.
Steve's Pest Control is currently en route.
As the season changes, you may notice spiders, wasps, and mice trying to enter your home. But don't worry, the pros of Steve's Pest Control are ready for battle. Before the fall invasion attacks your property, calmly, quietly, pick up your phone and call us at Steve's Pest Control. We've been protecting businesses, homes, and neighborhoods all over Central Missouri for years, and we can protect yours too. I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We will eliminate your pest problem and stop the fall pest invasion. I guarantee it.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
Don't think riding the bus is cool?
Hey, aren't you going a bit fast?
You want to get there, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I want to get there alive!
Come on, get out of the way, you putz!
If he slams on his brakes, you're gonna slam right into his tail! Whoa! Watch out for that little old lady!
She'll move.
That will never happen on the bus, because Jefferson City Transit is safe. What's not cool about that? Jeff Tran, connecting our community. JeffTran.org.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Taking a look at the scores again from last night at Atkins Stadium. The Jefferson City Jays beat Capital City by a score of 36-0. At Ray Hinchcliffe Stadium, Helias beat Columbia Rockbridge 56-24. And down in St. Genevieve last night, it was Valley Catholic 35, the Blair Oaks Falcons 28. As we mentioned, Helias over Columbia Rockbridge last night by a score of 56-24. And joining us now is Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinchcliffe. Congratulations on the win.
Thanks, Kevin.
It's always good to win on homecoming, especially when it's an old North Central Missouri Conference foe in Columbia Rockbridge. They also came into the football game last night undefeated on the season, and it was a key conference game, as you were the only team now in conference still undefeated on the season.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, homecoming is always a special game. Our game against Rockbridge is always, you know, one of those marquee games on our schedule. And, you know, we had a really good week of practice. The boys were focused. I thought the coaches did an outstanding job of developing both an offensive, defensive, and special teams game plan where our boys went out and executed. And I just thought, you know, obviously in a ball game like that, there's times that we did not play as well as we probably could have. But overall, I was really pleased with the way we played last night.
And you never trailed in the football game last night.
No, we received the ball first and scored on the first drive. And, you know, our second, third, and fourth drive weren't all that good, but our defense was strong early, held them to a field goal. But we got clicking offensively, and defense continued to play well. They had a couple of big plays, kind of 50-50 balls in the end zone where their receivers made plays and our defensive backs weren't able to. But that running back is really special.
Mm-hmm.
He is special, man. You know, I've seen a lot of good running backs in my years of coaching, and he was one of the better ones that we've ever played against.
You talked about it just a moment ago, but a good 66-yard drive to start the football game. Tell me how important that is in a game like this to get that good start.
Well, I think, you know, just for the momentum and confidence of your ball club. You know, you work on things all week in practice, and you know, you always have that opening drive list of those 8 to 10 plays that you really believe are going to be successful. And, you know, we were able to execute those plays, move down the field, you know, with a good mix of pass and run and put that first one in the end zone. It's validation of everything that, you know, that you worked on, not just what you practiced, but, you know, how you've scouted the team that you're playing. You know, as coaches, have we dissected their defense, you know, or have we gotten tendencies on their offense? You always want to come out and be successful, making sure that you've done your homework, you know, and you prepared your kids to go out and play. So, you know, that's always a good feeling when you can go out, you know, and get that first stop, or, you know, take that first drive and go down and finish with some points.
Alex Clement gets a couple of touchdown runs in the ball game for you, went over 100 yards in the contest. And I remember last week in the second half, he came out with an injury.
Yeah, he had a slight sprain of the MCL. We held him out of practice on Tuesday. He was able to go some half pad stuff on Wednesday and Thursday. By Thursday, he was feeling fine, and so you know, he got the clearance to play, and he played well last night. Really patient, doing a great job of running. You know, our off tackle was pretty successful last night, and his ability to be patient through the holes and explosive once that hole opened up, he really looked good running the ball last night.
You were up 28-10 at the half. Jacob Weaver, your quarterback, threw two touchdown passes and ran for a third in that first half. And again, he continues to distribute the passing game among wide receivers, doesn't he?
Yeah. And, you know, we had a good game plan to spread it out. And Jake did a really good job last night of finding the open receiver and, you know, putting the ball where it needed to be, you know, where it needed to be. And our receivers did a good job of catching it last night, running after the catch. And again, another strong performance by our offensive line. You know, we were able to rush for 288 yards, and I think Jake threw for another 246, so over 500 yards of offense. We were really pleased with the way the offense played overall.
You get a touchdown, I think, early in the third quarter, so like you did in the first half, got on the board early, and then you did the same thing in the second half.
Yeah, and that was important, too, because, you know, you make halftime adjustments. You know, as a coaching staff, you know, we gather together as an offensive group and a defensive group, and we make the adjustments. We give the boys, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to catch their breath, let the senior leaders talk to them, talk to the team. And while we're developing, you know, our second half adjustments, we come in, you know, we're laser focused. You know, we don't try to reteach everything, but just give them about, you know, 5, maybe 7 points that we need to do better in the second half, you know, and hope we go out and execute it. And I thought we did a really good job of our halftime adjustments as well as coaches.
You know, in the game last night, it seemed like every time that Columbia Rockbridge would get on the board, you would answer, and you would answer quickly.
And that's kind of what we've been doing these last few games is, you know, get that momentum back on our sidelines. You know, they make a big play. They think they have things rallying, and offense answers quickly. That's always an important thing, because that momentum is a crazy thing in sports, particularly in high school sports, and it gets rolling against you, and strange things can happen. But it's always nice to be able to answer their scores with our scores.
You talked about it a few moments ago, but you continued to run the football very well. You closed in on about 300 yards rushing last night. You go back a couple of weeks ago, you had 320 yards on the ground against Columbia Battle. Last week, 326 yards on the ground against St. Francis Borgia. You've got that balanced attack, but no one defensively can sit on one aspect of your offense, because you run the ball well and you've been throwing the ball well.
Yeah, you know, whether it's quick game or downfield strikes or RPO game or inside-outside run, we feel like what we're doing offensively now is really working for us and taking advantage of the skill sets of each of our particular players. You know, every player has strengths and weaknesses. It's our job as coaches to play to their strengths. You know, it's not just playing to the strength of your quarterback, but your slot receivers, your split receivers. You know, and of course, we put a lot on our offensive line. That's our experienced group coming back. We had 4 starters coming back from last year's squad, and they're doing a great job of protecting our quarterback and opening up holes in the run game. So I feel we're in a good rhythm right now offensively. We just need to keep it rolling.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to talk about. I had on the sheet here is your offensive line, because you talk so much about offense, and it's about statistics. How are you doing as far as rushing the ball per carry? How you're doing throwing the football and your total offense and turnovers and those types of things? We take a look at those numbers, and when those numbers are good, it's because the offensive line's doing well.
Yeah, they are. You know, left tackle Parker Weidman, a senior. At left guard, Gage Traxel, a senior. Will Heckman, who played right guard for us last year, but's doing such a good job at center. We moved him to center, and he's doing a great job. Senior, right guard. We've been rolling in Jacob Watson, a senior. Drew Disler, a junior, and at right tackle Dylan Kopp, having an outstanding year, both offensively and defensively, a senior. And it's a very experienced group. And, you know, Coach Scarborough is doing a wonderful job with those guys up front. And you can just see their maturation, that improvement each and every week. And, you know, we're going to need those guys coming down the home stretch to stay healthy and keep improving each week. for us to accomplish what we really want to accomplish this year.
We need to take a look, though, at your defense because it's played very well as well. I think going into the game last night, 14 sacks on the season. Your two linebackers, the top tacklers, Ethan Holzhauser with 45 tackles going into last night's game and Isaac Lopez with 36.
Yeah, and they're the heart and soul of our defense, not taken away from anybody else and what they're doing. Our defensive line is playing well. You know, but our linebacker core, led by Ethan and Isaac, you know, they both were 100-plus tacklers last year. And to have them back and, to have that experience, and they make sure everybody gets in the right spot up front. And the great tacklers, when they get there, too, they really finish their tackles. You know, even last night with that fantastic ball carrier, they were both around the ball all the time. And, you know, it's our run defense. Even though we gave up a few big plays last night, and you're going to when you play a back, and the quarterback was also very talented. He was able to get out the back door sometimes on some of his bootlegs and zone reads, and we need to shore up that part of our defensive front. But overall, I thought we played really well. Outside of a couple 50-50 balls where we just didn't play the ball well in the air. You know, one was a fourth and long. Actually, they scored two on fourth downs and another on a third down, and We that's a point of emphasis we're going to work on this week, and just being able to play that ball when it's in the air. But overall, defense is playing well, offense is playing well, special teams. I thought we had our best night in the special teams. Coach White's doing a great job with our special teams group. Right now we're as a team we're just trying to get better in all three phases each and every day. And I know that's kind of coach speak, but it's really what we focus on. We know we've got some huge games coming up, and we just want to make sure we're healthy, we're improving. And we put our kids in a position where they can, accomplish their dreams and goals.
On Monday, the classifications and the district assignments came out from the Missouri State High School Activities Association. You're in a district with Bolivar, Warrensburg, Harrisonville, Nevada, and Marshall. You go back to the conference, and you're going to get, when you play up, you get bonus points as far as the standings are concerned, as far as the point total is concerned. You take a look at the conference, and you play up every single week in the conference, sometimes two classes.
Yeah, we do. Being the only Class 4 team in the conference, that is nice that we get those bonus points when we play the larger schools. And that will always be a benefit to us, as long as, we can be successful and win enough ball games. In the midst of the conference season with three big conference games left to go. Our focus is on the conference, but you have to keep one eye on those district standings, too. You want to be the number one seed. You want to be able to host all those district games. Right now, we're in first place. We've got to continue that grind to make sure we stay there. The one thing, Kevin, I know you and I will talk about here coming down the home stretch is the urgency we have right now. We have to get a week nine.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're open in week nine. And, if we do remain as the number one seed or even the number two seed in district, you're set to get a first round bye in week 10. And that's something we just can't have. We just can't be open in week 9 and open in week 10. You can always deal with one open date because we've managed those before, but I really, really don't want to have two open dates at the end of the season. So we're still pushing hard trying to find a week 9 somewhere.
You talk to football coaches across the state, and some of them don't even like to have 1 week off as far as, get a first round bye, but they don't even like that.
No, it's... You can get out of sync. I say we have managed open weeks before in the past, and we feel like we've got a pretty good plan to do that. You want to keep sharp. We'll do what we have to do. We're working really hard to trying to get a week nine. And as I told Mr. Gwynn, our athletic director, I said this is just a crazy year. Right now we don't have one, but who knows? The Monday or Tuesday of week nine, something could come open.
Mm-hmm.
Because teams canceling because of COVID, and so we're certainly not giving up hope on finding a week nine. We think we can do that. It's just making sure that you find the right kind of game going into district.
Capital City will be your opponent on Friday night at Atkins Stadium, and it's kind of interesting because we talked about it a little bit last night, is that, I've been doing games for over 40 years, and last night it was a game at Atkins Stadium, and the Jefferson City Jays were the visitors. For a long time, you played home games at Atkins Stadium, and you will walk into Atkins Stadium on Friday night, and you'll be the visitor on the scoreboard.
Yeah, that'll be a little odd, being on the visitor's sidelines. We did do it last year when we played Capital City in junior varsity football. We were on the visitor's sideline, and that was kind of an odd feeling. But we certainly have a lot of respect for Coach Jolly and what he's doing with that program. They're really running the football well. A young team, you can tell they're improving each and every week. And, you know, we're going to have to and have a great week of practice. And just looking forward to that, you know, to that inner city competition over the next 2 weeks, you know, playing Capital City and then playing Jeff City. I think it's going to be really exciting for the Jeff City community.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Congratulations on the victory against Columbia Rockbridge last night, and we'll see you Friday night against the Capital City Cavaliers.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Inches. Once again, last night they beat Columbia Rockbridge to stay undefeated on the season at 5-0, undefeated in conference play, obviously. They beat the Bruins last night by a score of 56-24. Again, down at St. Genevieve, it was Valley Catholic over Blair Oaks last night, 35-28. And last night at Atkins Stadium, first ever varsity football game between the Jefferson City Jays and the Capital City Cavaliers. And the Jays with the shutout last night as they win by a score of 36-0. We'll see you next week right here on the Coaches Show on KWOS.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City, K283CL Jefferson City.